Well, welcome to the next edition of Business Law Focus. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Johan Boetus, one of the leading labor experts in South Africa, to the show, and his partner and head of employment and compensation at Baker McKenzie. And he's joined by Tracy van der Kolff, who's a senior associate in employment and compensation practice at Baker McKenzie. Thanks very much, guys, for joining us. I know it's we're nearing the end of the year, but the topic we want to actually delve into is a big one and a big theme as we head into 2022, and of course the holidays. And now we've got Omicron, we've got the risk of a fourth wave that should reach a peak early in the new year. But the question now is mandatory vaccines. South Africa, very, very low, 7% or so in total. South Africa's a lot better, you know, at about 36%. But there's still resistance to mandatory vaccines. There's a lot of talk about it. We've got Nedlac, we've got the government talking about bringing it in and implementing it. We've had some companies coming through, quite a few actually. There's a list, Discovery's looking at it, and they've had a lot of success since announcing it, whereas it's not even mandatory yet, but you've already got over 90% of the staff there. You've got other companies, Standard Bank, Old Mutual, MTN, also very outspoken on the need for it. But there are nuances. There are very specific requirements. We want to delve into that. It's not well understood. Africa's rate, not great. There's a lot of people that are not clear on it. Awareness seems to be lacking. But also in the corporate world, there are very specific requirements that need to be in place. It's not cut and dry that you can just announce a vaccine policy. So we wanted to get into that. Maybe if we can start with you, Johan, just to provide the relevant context when it comes to the South Africa specifically.
Yeah, Evan, thank you very much. And this is indeed a topical issue at the moment. We anticipate that at least for the next quarter or two, this will be right center and focus of any HR director and CEO's mind. How do we deal with vaccination within the workplace? You gave the statistics in relation to Africa and South Africa. Clearly something has to give, and we can't just rely on government to get this right. So what we've seen is we've seen a number of large employers, notably Discovery that you mentioned, there are a couple of others that are implementing it as well, communicating to staff that they are implementing mandatory vaccination within the workplace. So the legal framework to that, and I'll ask Tracy to assist in just unpacking that, is basically in terms of a directive that was issued by the Department of Employment and Labour in June 2021. And that created the platform. It provides us with the legal handrails that wherein which an employer can implement mandatory vaccination. So that is the touchstone that we would need to look at in order to see if you want to implement mandatory vaccination within the workplace as an employer, where do you start? That is the starting point.
Okay, great. And then Tracy, this distinction between a risk assessment and the policy. I mean, it's there are a couple of hurdles that companies have to get over here before they can just roll out this policy, right? And this is in line with the directive that Johan was talking about.
That's correct, Evan. And thanks so much for hosting us today. It's an absolute pleasure to speak to you on this very important topic. So what Johan said is obviously absolutely correct. So in June 2021, the minister published an amendment to the consolidated direction on the occupational health and safety measures. And this provides the kind of groundwork for employers to implement a mandatory vaccination policy in the workplace. And basically, this directive provides guidance that an employer first has to undertake what we call a risk assessment before an employer can implement a mandatory vaccination policy. So underpinning what we are talking about today, and just to take a step back, employers have a duty in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act to provide and maintain a safe and healthy working environment for the employees. So in order to give effect to this general duty, and what this directive now provides is that an employer must undertake a risk assessment in order to determine what hazards are present in the workplace. So in the context of the conversation we're having today, COVID would be a hazard. And what measures can be implemented to mitigate the risks, and, for example, implementing a mandatory vaccination policy. So when an employer is now determining whether it can implement a mandatory vaccination policy, there are two main considerations that the employer needs to look at, and that would be the health profile of an individual employee.
Yep.
So, for example, is this employee particularly a high-risk employee? Are they over the age of 60? Do they have comorbidities, et cetera, et cetera? And then it also needs to have a look at its workforce, or its workplace, rather, as a whole. So is this workforce, is there a risk of exposure for COVID in the workforce? So in order to undertake this assessment, the employer needs to ask the employee to complete what we've called a health declaration form, where it asks employees for this information. Okay. And basically, the employer will then... Sorry, would you like to chip in, Evan? Sorry.
No, 100%. I was just thinking also, I mean, obviously there's some sectors more at risk than others, like, for instance, hospitality sector. I know also, obviously, discovery. If you look globally as well, health, you know, public sector workers like doctors in some countries have to do it as well, you know. So, I mean, is there clarity on that some companies are not as at risk as others?
Yes. So there's not... I would say there isn't absolutely clear guidance on this, but what we've done in our practice is, you know, there's kind of a matrix that we look at. So where there is a high risk of exposure to COVID in the workplace, so for example, the guidelines do say, you know, where there is a chance that you are working with people who have confirmed COVID cases. So for example, in a hospital.
Yeah.
That will place you in a high risk bucket.
Okay.
Where you are working in a workplace where you have regular contact with contractors, with colleagues,
yes,
with customers, clients, but you're not sure whether or not they might or might not have COVID, that might place you in a medium risk bucket. And then you look at those factors combined with the employee's individual health factors, and that kind of makes up this risk assessment. And then the employer then needs to say, okay, my employees, and whether we split them up into different buckets or whether we look at our workforce as a whole, my employees are low risk, medium risk, high risk. And then that will then inform whether or not the employer is permitted to implement a mandatory vaccination policy.
I see. And then this assessment, once it's done, then you have to actually implement a plan, right?
Correct. So the directive uses the wording vaccination plan, but we see that as a vaccination policy, essentially.
Okay. Brilliant.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. And now, obviously, the big question when it comes to this, so there are a couple of technical issues. Companies, HR people, and legal have to work quite closely to get this on track. As you say, you've got certain documents that can really help and guide, which I think will be important. I think some companies may still be confused as well as to, you know, what's the right approach here. But the rights of employees, and this is the big question. It's a global debate. It's not just in SA, protest action. There's some unions. Kasatu, I think you may have mentioned earlier, also is you know, initially not in favor, but other unions still not in favor, like Fidusa, I believe. So there's still this element of, you know, society that are not convinced that this is a way to implement it. So maybe let's get into employee rights. And I know, Johan, we also want to bring in the Constitution here, you know, and the right to bodily integrity and autonomy, which are enshrined in the Constitution. And we'll get to that just now. But maybe, Tracy, just from your side, employee rights, what are the rights? I mean, can you force someone to do this, in other words?
So, yeah, very, very happy to pick up this question, Evan. So the long and the short of it is when an employer now implements a mandatory vaccination policy, the employees are entitled to object to being vaccinated on either constitutional or health grounds. And I'd be interested to hear Johan's input on, you know, to maybe unpack the constitutional grounds a little bit more.
Yep.
There's no clear guidance in terms of the direct of what that looks like, but we do have some case law framework that we can draw from.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy to jump in there as well and
please
pick up on the Q&A. Thanks, Tracy. The Constitution does provide not only employees but citizens with various rights, and one of those would be, you know, the right to freedom of religion, to freedom of belief, to freedom of bodily integrity. You know, the Employment Equity Act give embodiment to these rights within the workplace. So within the Employment Equity Act, it's constituted unfair discrimination to unfairly discriminate against an employee on the basis of, in this case pertinently, religion or belief, for instance. So an employee could raise a valid ground of objection to say that I have the right not to be vaccinated because it is against my religion, my belief, or I have medical grounds for refusing to be vaccinated. But of course, you know, it cannot be as simple as just raising, you know, playing that card and say, but hang on, I have a medical objection. And that is the end of the inquiry, or it is against my belief or against my religion, you know, and that is the end of the inquiry. What the employer has to do is to consider those grounds and go through a consultation process with the employee where those grounds are interrogated. And like Tracy correctly said, the Constitutional Court has given us really good guidance on how do you deal with that. So when an employee says, I am objecting against your workplace policy or practice because it interferes with my right and freedom to religion, how do you deal with that? Because we always have to remember that, you know, although there are constitutional rights, those rights can be limited in a free and democratic society, you know, such as the one in which we operate. So the employer then has to play that balancing act and say, let me firstly interrogate this objection. You know, let me understand whether this is a fundamental tenet of your faith or belief. And if so, then what is it that I can do in order to balance these competing rights? Because the directive that the department set out indicated to us that, listen, these are the various factors you have to take into consideration. Public health, the rights of the employees, the rights of the, you know, of the workplace. So how do you then balance all of that? So yes, an employee has a right, you know, not to be vaccinated, but it's not an absolute right. And exercising that right, even validly, could have employment law consequences for the employee.
Of course, yeah. And I think one of the companies, I think it was MTN, was also saying that the science is very clear that when you have a vaccine, it does limit, you know, the impact and you know, the extent, you know, of the illness and of people, you know, who get the virus. So the science is quite clear. So when you're looking at that Section 36 limitation of rights, you know, it's a very careful balancing act there when it comes to, you know, the balancing between that individual freedom and, you know, the public interest component.
Even if I can chip in there, I mean, your point is so well made. I mean, Discovery Health this morning sent out a study results to its members in relation to the recent studies that they've done on this Omicron variant. And the efficacy of vaccines. And what's very clear from the science and from the data is that vaccinations are really assisting with serious illness and death as a result of COVID.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I think that's an interesting one, because we could have, certainly there's a build-up here of potential protests in the new year. For instance, universities, quite a few universities said they are implementing it, and that's obviously going to be the intake coming in the new year. And students that don't want to do this, and they've actually already said we will be protesting. So that's going to be a factor, you know, that we're going to have to face in the new year. But then, you know, how far can they take this is the question. And it's going to be, as Johan said, that interesting balancing act. So that's the next question. If someone comes and says, you know, I know with, for instance, Discovery, they've still got 350 people, you know, they've got a list of, you know, of staff who said that for either religious belief, you know, or health reasons, you know, they don't want to do it. And they're now consulting with them, doing the right thing, as you mentioned. What do you do then if you're not successful? I mean, what action can you take, you know, obviously leading up to possibly dismissal, right?
And that is exactly the ultimate employment law consequence that could be visited upon an employee who objects to be vaccinated. And this is often a difficult thing for employees to wrap their brains around, you know, and consider the fairness of it, because on the face of it, it just seems so brutally unfair that I have done nothing wrong. You know, it's the same situation as what you find with medical incapacity cases. You know, I did not choose to get sick. I did not choose to have this bed disease visited upon me, but now I am unable to perform my work. And what the law allows an employer to do is to terminate the services of an employee where that employee is unable to perform the basic functions of their work. And this is essentially where employees could land in respect of a refusal to be vaccinated. So if the employer goes through that first part of the consultation process and establishes that there is indeed a valid reason for the objection, whether it's medical belief or religion, then the employer would go into a second round, which will look at the reasonable accommodation process. Then the employer would ask questions such as, now that I've accepted that your ground is indeed valid, you know, this is not something that you've made up in order to avoid getting vaccinated, what do I do? Do I have an alternative role for you? Can I put you somewhere where it does not, it's of no consequence, you know, whether you're vaccinated or not? So I've got a one-man stop out there in Kuruman, you know, and I can go and put you there, and you're not going to get in contact with anybody else with respect to everybody from Kuruman, you know. Nothing is going to happen if you are not vaccinated and I put you in that workplace there. That is reasonable accommodation, therefore I'm going to put you there. So I avoid terminating you for ill health or for refusal to get vaccinated. If I don't have that, do I have other work that I can allow you to go and do from home? So you are a qualified chartered accountant. I've got bookkeeping work that I can let you go and do for another month or two or three from home, and I don't need you to come in. So you would go through that process of considering what alternatives are available short of dismissal. So I want you to be vaccinated when you come into the workplace. Can I let you work from home? Okay, problem solved. Then you can go and sit at home, and you're not going to contaminate anybody in the workplace. If I can't allow you to go and sit at home, you're a factory worker. You have to come in. You have to be operating behind your machine in order to be gainfully employed by me, you know. And I don't have other work. I may even look at the situation of saying, can I afford to give you 6 months unpaid leave, for instance, so that you can go and sit this thing out at home, and hopefully within the next 6 months, something miraculous would have happened, you know, in order to avoid you getting vaccinated. And I can then take you back in employment again, you know, where I can allow you back into the workplace. What we fear, you know, and this is the message to employees, is that in many instances, the employer would have valid reasons to say, but I can't accommodate you like that. I can't allow you to do X, Y, or Z that will avoid a termination. So my sincere advice to employees is before you just blanketly refuse to be vaccinated, take legal advice, go and speak to an employment lawyer, and really understand what are the options open to both you and the employer, you know, before you take a drastic step like that. Because my honest concern is that I think many employees who persist with a refusal to be vaccinated could find themselves being dismissed in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, the great point, Johan. Well put. Now, just to close off as well, the directive has some interesting elements as well that are also important for employees who, when it is mandatory, they do it. Let's assume they get ill. This new directive actually covers that type of ground. Maybe Tracy, you can mention a couple of the elements there that that benefit employees that do take the vaccine.
Thanks, Evan. That's correct. So in October, it was October 2021, the Compensation Commission issued a notice pertaining to vaccination side effects. So this is done in terms of the COIDA Act, and basically this provides that the compensation fund will cover employees for injuries, illness, or death as a result of receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. So it's just a fancy way to say that if you get sick or if you die as a result of getting the vaccination, the fund will basically step in and will pay either compensation to you if you are sick, you need to take time off, or you have medical expenses, or will pay out a benefit to your family if God forbid you pass away. So there are a couple of boxes to tick in order for an employee to qualify for this compensation. So things such as the vaccination must be regarded as an inherent requirement of the job. So this will be now informed by the employer's risk assessment. There's now a mandatory vaccination policy, and as a result of the mandatory vaccination policy, the employee then gets vaccinated and gets sick. The vaccine has to be one of the SAHPRA-approved COVID-19 vaccines. I've touched on the employer's safety risk assessment and vaccination plan, so the employee will need to provide that as proof. And there needs to be obviously a link between receiving the vaccination and developing symptoms. And the side effects that the employee suffers from needs to be the generally recognized vaccination side effects. And that's basically the long and the short of it.
Okay, fabulous. And now just lastly, I mean, obviously some people are still considering, are there other alternatives? I mean, clearly you get vaccinated, there's still a risk of getting the virus. People, you know, social distancing, mask wearing, etc., it also has an impact. It's one of the debates that's also happening globally. And working from home certainly is a factor that can really help, right? So, I mean, is there any space for people to, for instance, say, you know, I want to stay at home, and an employer should probably oblige in that regard. You foresee a little bit of scope in that regard, and is there any space for it in the directives?
Yeah, a really good question, Evan. So as a general proposition, under the common law, the employer can direct an employee to work from wherever. You know, most employment contracts will say you work at this specific workplace or that, you know, you work wherever I tell you to go and work as your employer. When the directive got issued, though, it changed that position in that the directive has this peculiar provision that says, oh, it's peculiar, I mean, one can understand it in the context, that where employees can work from home, they should. Now, that provision is still there. It's still part of our law at the moment. So as the law stands at the moment, we still have the directive that creates this anomaly to say that employees who can work from home should. So when an employer conducts its risk assessment, it should consider its business rationale and those valid business reasons as to why it requires its employees to come back into the office. You know, and with the legal position now that employees who can work from home should, the employer, in our view, should have a valid and overriding business reason. And there are many of those that employers can legitimately rely on, but it's a factor that they should consider. And they should consider that in respect of those employees who raise objections as well, to say that why do I need employees to come back to the workplace? Do I need all the employees to come back to a workplace? Are there certain categories of employees who can and should come back and others who may still work at home? And where I have objections, you know, have I considered whether I can allow this employee to continue to work from home? And those are really grounds that any employer should consider before terminating the services of an employee for failing to get vaccinated.
Well, Tracy and Johan, thanks very much for the time. Certainly astute advice. It's a more complex issue than I think anyone really understands at the moment. It's currently a debate, but certainly the way the world is moving, if you look at Singapore, you look at Greece, these, you know, mandatory policies are coming through, and the impact is quite positive. You know, so I think this is something we all need to prepare for. But I think everyone out there, as you've really very, you know, clearly outlaid, is they need to be very aware of the consequences, balancing of those rights, and what the directive actually says. And so I think thanks very much for laying it out for us. And we certainly look forward to the corporate SA and employees certainly finding middle ground on this in the new year. So thanks for that.